Step 10, sustain with high involvement planning. People support what they help create. High involvement planning, or HIP, has been the linchpin to SRC's sustainability of the game and its long-term financial success. HIP has kept us focused and committed to the game, primarily because it keeps things fresh and exciting by changing up the game. It redefines the game for us each year, with new critical numbers, new financial targets, new challenges to conquer, and new goals to achieve. HIP is also where we can leverage the business know-how we have worked so hard to create. We use this collective knowledge of our team to raise our level of thinking from 90-day minigames to annual bonus plans to 5- and 10-year visions for the company. The result of high involvement planning is a vision and a specific plan to achieve the vision. It's also a plan that we all buy into, believe in, and feel empowered and ready to achieve. That's a powerful position to be in. Everyone can see the big picture, which takes engagement to a whole new level and motivates the team even further. They know where we are, where we're going, how we plan to get there, and most importantly, what all that means to us and our future. That's what HIP does for SRC and what HIP can do for you. This chapter is designed to introduce you to the practices, steps, and tools we use to sustain the game with high involvement planning. It will take time for your game to evolve to this level, but as it does, elevating your game to HIP will give you the highest level of performance. Think of the first 9 steps as your entry into the game. You may spend your first year getting good at the blocking and tackling, the basics. Your first objective should be getting everyone into the game and raising the level of understanding of the business throughout the company. Then use HIP to leverage that knowledge and elevate and sustain the game year after year. Think of HIP as the creation of a flywheel effect. It keeps the game in motion and continues to get stronger with each rotation. Why? Because we get smarter about our business with each rotation. We won't cover every aspect of HIP in this chapter. In fact, based on the impact HIP has had on our company, SRC, it definitely deserves its own book. However, you'll learn the core success factors that make it work, the templates that bring it to life, and tips on when and how to get started. But first, let us share with you how the practice of HIP works at SRC and the impact it has made. Using HIP to build a $100 million war chest, SRC Holdings. In 2009, the world's economy ground to a halt. The mortgage industry imploded, a black swan no one saw coming, and banks stopped lending money. Everyone started chasing their deposits, and concerns grew that there'd be a huge run on the bank's liquidity. But no one, not economists or government officials or financial experts, had any answers about how to stop the crisis. Then, banks and companies started closing all over the world. People were glued to the news around the clock to learn the latest casualty. It seemed like the end of the world. Even if you had a job, you wondered if you would have one the following day. The fear was paralyzing. The associates at SRC were scared too, and for good reason. While the company had been through 3 prior recessions, it even got its start during a recession in 1983, this one was different. Even the strongest companies were petrified, says Jack Stack, SRC's CEO. It caught your attention. We had never seen anything like this. It came out of the blue. One of SRC's lenders had even called its only loan of some $9 million, even though SRC had worked with them for more than 25 years and had $32 million deposited in the bank. The bank was trying to offer a new deal where SRC would have to pay fees to access its own money. Rational thinking seemed to have come to an end. The good news for SRC was that it paid off its loan and moved its money to a new bank. The company was still in relatively good shape financially, the details of which Stack laid out to his associates in a company-wide huddle. We wanted to stop the shock and awe, says Stack. We wanted people to understand that we were fortunate to have a healthy balance sheet and cash in the bank. We didn't have to scramble to recover and start again. We also wanted them to know what they needed to do to control their own destiny. That was the day Stack said, "Today is the day we take fear out of the organization." Stack then laid out the company's end-of-the-world scenarios, which affectionately became known to our associates as the DEFCON steps, named for the Defense Readiness Condition steps used by the U.S. military. These were used to explain what would need to happen for the company to actually close its doors. That willingness to confront the worst-case scenarios worked. The associates now understood where things stood, which helped ease their fears. When SRC conducted morale studies during this period of time, they received some of the highest scores in the company's history. The next step was to take action. The company needed a long-term plan for how it was going to not just survive the recession, but also take off when the economy finally recovered. Enter the high involvement planning process. Bring the market to your people. One of the strengths of SRC is that the company has always looked more to the future than to the past. That's how it could fulfill its mission to protect and grow the jobs for its associates. Over its history, the company has averaged a 96% accuracy rate on its forward-looking five-year forecasts, which are developed through our sales and marketing planning, an important part of the HIP process. "We are critical of ourselves all the time," says Stack. "When we talk about our planning process, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do going forward, and we do that frequently. That way, we can continually adjust, learn, and get better at it. Our sales and marketing template hasn't changed for more than 30 years. SRC's sales and marketing reviews are part of the HIP planning rhythm that happens in June and again in October. This is where we bring the marketplace to our people. It begins with the company gathering as much macroeconomic data as it can to help assess what would happen in the marketplace over the next 5 to 10 years. The economy plays an important role in everything we do," says Stack. That's where the dynamics really change. And you can break the economy down into specific pieces, the markets, where you compete. You can then bring the market data to your people, which becomes a big piece of what the forecast reveals. Bringing the marketplace to our people also means understanding what competitors are doing and how their actions, whether that's setting prices, wage levels, or the margins they're earning, drive the action of the markets. I want our associates to understand that it's the marketplace that's setting the standards and what we need to do as a result to survive, says Stack. It's important for people to understand that it's not the whim of leadership or a flip of the coin that determines the outcome. Sales and marketing planning is also finding out what a company's customers think as a way to bring the sales and marketing team together with the rest of the company. It removes the blame game and the finger-pointing between sales and production in setting up one-year and five-year forecasts that everyone believes in, which every single employee in the company gets the opportunity to vote on. That's how it becomes a plan everyone can believe in. HIP not only connects the dots inside the company, it teaches associates what game they're really in, says Stack. It gives everyone the big picture of where we are and where we want to go. With a forecast in place, the company can then put together the strategic plans that lay out the financial resources and people needed to reach that destination. Another critical, and sometimes overlooked, part of high involvement planning is contingency planning, which answers questions like the following. What if our forecasts are wrong? What happens if we lose 15 to 20% of our business overnight? What would we do? Using contingency planning tools, you set up a discipline to constantly be developing a plan B, C, or even D. It's all about having new ideas, new products, and new markets ready in case of emergency, says Stack. You always need to plan for the unexpected. In 2009, SRC was forced to activate several of the contingency plans it had developed through the HIP process to help weather the economic storm and protect the jobs of its associates, which is the purpose of the forecast in the first place. Taking advantage of the downturn. As the SRC team kicked off its HIP process in 2009, it began to develop an ambitious plan for the next 10 years. Most companies don't try to predict recessions, they just try to react to them. SRC, on the other hand, was looking ahead to the next potential recession on the horizon and talking about how it could take advantage of it when it came. One of the insights SRC had learned from looking back at its experiences in prior recessions was that it had doubled in value 5 years after each of the three previous downturns. It did this by making investments and buying discounted businesses and properties at a time when everyone else was looking to cash out. The other insight was that economic recessions appeared to hit in 10-year cycles. That meant that even as the company worked through the recession staring it in the face in 2009, there would be a period of recovery followed by another downturn around 2019 or 2020. The question then became, how could the company best position itself to double in value not just by 2014, but also again in 2024? We had learned from our experiences in the past that if you think a recession is coming, you don't want to be in debt, says Stack. You also want to be diversified in the markets you operate in. We knew, for example, that auto parts go up in demand during recessions. We also knew that it's good to make investments in property that's selling at a discount, especially commercial property, which you can earn cash flow by collecting rent. We also knew you could buy companies for pennies on the dollar. It's the whole theory of buying low and selling high. There's a lot to be said about buying something in a downturn. If SRC was going to be able to take advantage of the next downturn, therefore, it was going to need to save enough money to make those kind of investments. When the rainy day came, says Stack, we wanted to have the biggest umbrella in town. The shared vision the associates arrived at through the HIP process was to save a total of $100 million over the next 10 years, with the goal of investing that money in the next downturn. Since the company already had $32 million in the bank, that meant it needed to save about $7 million a year for the next decade. That goal became the long-term vision everyone in the organization could then begin to align to and play a role in achieving. We had a plan, and now it was time to execute on it, says Stack. Even if our forecast was wrong about when the recession would hit, there was no downside to planning ahead to build up the health of the company's balance sheet. That started by creating the strategies to achieve this long-term vision and critical number of building a $100 million war chest. Each of SRC's business units built five-year financial plans to support the vision. Annual strategic goals, including critical numbers, were established to move us closer each year toward achieving the vision. Company-wide scoreboards tracked progress, and many of the company's critical numbers and annual bonus plans were also tied to how much cash could be generated each year. Departmental and company-wide mini-games were run over 90-day periods to help drive new efficiencies and generate additional savings. One example was how a corporation-wide team created a mini-game to turn dead inventory into cash. Huddles were used to answer questions and to generate new ideas to drive the company toward its goals. Meanwhile, the associates at SRC kept up their discipline to the high-involvement planning rhythm. The organization continued to revise its five-year forecasts based on market economic data while also developing contingencies in case those forecasts were wrong. It also tracked its progress toward its 10-year goal of saving $100 million. As we write this book, SRC's associates had hit their 10-year goal a year early. As a part of its HIP process, they had begun to look ahead yet again and see what their next 10-year target might become. Our goal all along has been to build the long-term value of the company for our people so they can have a wonderful quality of life, says Stack. When you plan the future out that far and you keep checking on it every 6 months, it makes the present that much easier to work through. You get everyone working together. As we like to say at SRC, it's easy to stop one guy, but it's pretty hard to stop 100. That's the beauty of the HIP process. As this story illustrates, SRC communicated a vision, but more importantly, put a number on it. It set a goal that represented the vision that everyone could rally around, a worthy goal. How do you make all this happen? What's the process? How did the team at SRC work through the setting of a $100 million goal? All these are fair questions, and in this chapter, we will describe the HIP process and specifically the framework we used to create our plans, review our plans, get input and buy-in for our plans, and of course to execute on our plans. But first, let us share with you the foundation of all our planning. Setting a worthy goal. The process starts with understanding the game we're in and setting a worthy goal. Strategy is primarily an innovative, insightful answer to internal and external realities to achieve a goal. So, the first step must be establishing a worthy goal. That's what SRC did in setting the $100 million goal. Then we tracked, measured, and forecast progress along the way to understand what strategies, or adjustments to those strategies, we needed to make to keep pushing toward the goal. We know the environment may change, the plan may need to be adjusted, we may not always execute like we should, but the goal remains the same. We will learn from this and adjust. People argue that the environment is changing so quickly today that planning is no longer useful. That seems like the next big idea. A quick search of strategic planning as a waste of time returned 61 million results. There are even a few bestsellers by next-gen gurus who tout the planning is fantasy agenda. Perhaps they just aren't doing it right. You still need to set goals people can get behind. You still need to align time, resources, and organizational efforts toward achieving the goal. None of that will ever change. Changing the goal just because the environment changed is often just an excuse for not achieving it. That's what we've learned at SRC, and it remains the foundation of our planning approach. Putting the HIP process into motion. High involvement planning consistently involves, informs, and educates the entire organization on the realities of the marketplace and the company's strategy for growth. If done right, HIP can transform planning from an annual, time-consuming ritual orchestrated from the top into an exciting, ongoing journey in which the entire organization discovers the answers to growth and success. Ultimately, it brings everyone from the CEO to the frontline operator into the planning process. Let's walk you through the framework. There are four main steps in the HIP process: create the plan, communicate the plan, commit to the plan, and execute the plan. It's a framework for setting strategy, dealing with market changes, and enabling everyone to contribute. Each step reinforces the next. They work together to bring the plan to life. This is a repeatable process that, like a flywheel, gets easier to repeat the longer you commit to keeping it in motion. Create the plan. First, you need the tools and templates to create the plan. The key success factor at this stage is that you need to create a plan that is first and foremost rooted in reality. Without a consistent way of looking at the marketplace and knowing at all times what game you're in, you're kidding yourself. Remember, developing strategy is primarily an innovative, insightful answer to external realities like the marketplace and competitive data, and internal realities such as resources and financials to achieve a goal. As a result, good plans have broad participation to provide the best possible understanding of those realities. No more fairy tale planning. We are continually amazed by how much information we can generate about our business through the HIP process. We are also struck by how good our folks have become at presenting and articulating the reality of their businesses. That was brought home to us several years back when a member of our board of directors made a telling comment about our planning process. He told us that in his 40-year career working for one of the largest original equipment manufacturers in our industry, he had sat through countless business planning sessions and sales presentations, most of which he said could be described as fairy tale planning, that always began with once upon a time and ended with happily ever after. But here, you guys are all about sharing reality, whether your numbers are up or down. You understand that it's important not to sugarcoat it, but to be brutally honest, and you take accountability for what you need to do differently tomorrow to change those numbers for the better. There are no fairy tales coming from this group. Now, in this case, the numbers at SRC had never been better, which leads us to joke that presentations are always great when the numbers are good. But the truth is, when we make these presentations and forecasts, we're making ourselves accountable to our peers. We know that we want to be as accurate as possible, because even if the numbers are down, people will step up to support us and turn them around. That's the secret sauce of the HIP process, if you do it right and you don't just go through the motions. In creating our plan, we focus on four primary planning templates: the sales and marketing planning template, the strategy for growth planning template, the financial planning template, and the succession planning template. There's a reason sales is at the top of the income statement. The sales line is the determining factor for so many other decisions in the business. Staffing plans, capital plans, inventory plans, product development plans, standard costs, production plans, etc. The rest of the business plan is a natural outgrowth of the sales plan. Therefore, the first step in our planning process is the development of a believable, predictable sales line. It begins with gathering information from the marketplace in order to clearly understand the game we're in. What does the environment look like in the next year, 5 years, 10 years? What's our plan of attack? What are our customers telling us? Who's our competition? What are our growth opportunities and potential contingencies? We've used the following template for more than 30 years to help us bring the marketplace to our people and put believability in our plan. The sales and marketing planning template consists of external opportunities and threats such as economic, industry, and market intelligence, competitive intelligence, and customer intelligence. Internal strengths and weaknesses include financial perspective, trends and benchmarks, and a stakeholder perspective through our input survey. Sales performance, including a 5-year history, plan, actual, and forecast. The annual sales plan. Our growth and contingency planning. Our 5-year sales outlook. Our strategy for growth. And our team's buy-in. Sidebar. What is contingency planning? At the Great Game of Business, we define contingency planning in business as the proactive process for planning both the short-term and long-term security of a company. Contingency planning is sometimes known as the Plan B and is most often used in risk management, business continuity, and strategy. What would you do if your company suddenly lost 10% of its revenue? That scenario may seem unlikely, but unexpected events and outcomes are almost a guarantee in business. So the question becomes, how can we use our insights and historical data to better foresee these surprises? Too many businesses get into trouble because they don't have well-designed contingency plans, or perhaps any plans at all. Those that do have a business planning process in place often focus only on things like sales projections and ignore potential negative events that they'd rather not think about. Contingency planning is a powerful tool because it helps uncover weaknesses so they can be proactively addressed, which ensures that a company can rally quickly when things go off course. What does a contingency plan look like? We define contingencies as products or services that have been researched, developed, and cost-justified and are ready to be activated on very short notice. Based on this definition, consider what would you do if one of your biggest customers suddenly went out of business? A contingency plan to deal with this possibility might include anticipating this risk, exploring opportunities for revenue replacement, or identifying company-wide changes that can soften the impact of a significant revenue loss. A contingency plan works to support the broad goals and future direction of the organization. The business planning process is an integral part of our open book management structure. However, we do things a bit differently than anyone else. Our high involvement planning process taps into the collective knowledge and experience of an organization by involving employees at all levels. While this may seem unnecessary or impractical, our process has been proven time and again to engage employees and produce positive results. Contingency planning is just one component of the sales and marketing process, and it actually complements strategic and financial planning. Without a backup plan in place, all the hard work put into future plans could get derailed. A contingency plan is typically activated when revenue drops unexpectedly. However, a plan may also be used for more positive growth situations. These might include incorporating a contingency plan into next year's sales growth plan or activating the plan in response to a sudden increase in customer demand or new market opportunities. The process of developing contingency measures takes you out of reactive mode and puts your organization into a proactive stance. In fact, contingency planning can be a source of innovation, with many of the contingency plans contributing to the ongoing growth of the business. Once a contingency plan is activated, you must define another one to take its place. Remember, a contingency plan is a living document and is meant to be revised or updated on at least a biannual basis. By making contingency planning a regular part of your planning procedure, you ensure that you're always prepared to respond to crises and mitigate damage, anything from small problems to worst-case scenarios. Once supported by your overall business planning process, a rock-solid contingency plan helps ensure growth and sustainability. The Strategy for Growth Planning Template. This planning template is focused on articulating and communicating our strategy for growth, both long-term as well as short-term. Some companies have a very clear understanding of where they're going, but they can't seem to execute today. Other companies are great at executing and always find a way to get it done today, but they don't really have any idea where they're going. The objective of the Strategy for Growth Planning Template is to clearly communicate the long-term vision of the company as well as the actions we need to take today to move us closer to the vision. This template bridges the short-term and the long-term. We use this template, also known as the playbook, to capture and communicate our strategy for growth. Many of the practices of the game that we described in earlier chapters are represented in this template. The Strategy for Growth template communicates the practices that will enable everyone to execute. Practices like critical numbers, bonus plans, mini games, huddles, scoreboards, not to mention the continuous process of financial forecasting and reforecasting to meet your goals. The Financial Planning template. This planning template is focused on funding the strategy while leaving a fair return for the company. The objective of the financial planning template is to show the financial realities of the strategy. Does the strategy help us hit our financial goals? Is the strategy creating long-term value? Where are the vulnerabilities we need to be addressing? Where should we focus and invest to eliminate those vulnerabilities? The succession planning template. This planning template is focused on identifying the who. Who will execute the plan? Do we have the talent and the bench strength to execute the strategy and achieve our goals? Once you've created the plan, the next step is to communicate the plan. Communicate the plan. What's critical to the success of any planning process is the ability of the team to think strategically. This isn't an easy skill to develop. In fact, most of us only develop the skill after years of trial and error as we try to grow our businesses. One objective of the HIP process is to accelerate this learning curve by creating a mental pattern or frequent planning rhythm for the team to use to deal with strategic issues and to sharpen its strategic thinking skills. Without this pattern, without this framework, valuable information can be overlooked or even lost as employees fail to understand strategy and how it contributes to building a great company. As Jack Stack says, business is an unfolding drama. There are always new questions to consider, new discoveries to make, new problems to confront. To be great at business, you need to be continuously learning. Planning rhythms accelerate learning. HIP also breaks down the traditional annual planning and budgeting process used by many companies into a continual rhythm that enables the organization to better respond to the changes in the market. HIP establishes a rhythm and a cadence to keep plans updated and dynamic, while also keeping people engaged and aligned with achieving the plans. Using the planning templates described above, we establish a review process that drives the planning cycle. Although your specific planning rhythm may be different based primarily on the speed of your business, here's a good cadence to get the process started. Review your sales and marketing plan twice a year. Review your strategy for growth plan 3 times a year. Review your financial plan once a year, as well as in the weekly huddle. Review your succession plan once a year. And review your employee input and buy-in 3 times a year, as well as in the weekly huddles. Commit to the plan. The way you produce the plan is just as important as the plan itself. To get ownership and ensure results, you must focus on how your plans are created and how people are involved in the process. Jack Stack. What makes the HIP process so effective, and why it's called high involvement in the first place, is that it garners real buy-in from everyone in the organization by asking them to weigh in on how confident they are in the plan. Not just the sales plan, but also the contingencies and overall direction of the company. It also gives everyone a chance to provide input and hash out any weaknesses they see in it. As you can see from the planning rhythm described above, employee input and buy-in is baked into the cycle. Think of this as closing the feedback loop. Employees are asked for their input, and then we follow up with a plan. Before it's ratified, we ask for their confidence in the plan. This allows them to see if their input was used or addressed. As part of the feedback process, employees are encouraged to make comments, which are then followed up on. Here are example questions from both the input survey we explored in Step 4 and the buy-in survey. Employee Input Survey. Number 1. What are the top 2 critical financial issues facing the company in the next 6 to 12 months? Number 2. What are the top 2 critical marketplace or customer issues facing the company in the next 6 to 12 months? Number 3. What are the top 2 critical operational or process issues facing the company in the next 6 to 12 months? Number 4. What are the top 2 critical people or culture issues facing the company in the next 6 to 12 months? Number 5. What should the company do better, differently, or more of? Employee buy-in survey. Number 1. What is your level of confidence in our sales and marketing plan? 0 being low, 10 being high. Number 2. What is your level of confidence in our strategy for growth and contingency plan? 0 being low, 10 being high. Number 3. What was your biggest takeaway? From our experience, it's not about what input was actually incorporated into the plan. It's about the opportunity to participate, to be listened to, and to be respected for one's thoughts and ideas. People want to be seen and heard. In the end, however, there are many times the input is heard loud and clear and reveals real issues in the plan, and that contribution builds a stronger plan. High involvement planning aims to shift everyone's mindset from a "that's your plan" to "this is our plan" by including everyone in the planning process. By now you know our mantra: people support what they help create. Through the years, we've learned that if people don't participate, they don't buy in. If they don't buy in, they don't commit. If they don't commit, they don't deliver. When people buy in and are committed to the plan, even if the plan turns out to be inadequate, they will adjust and strive to make the necessary corrections to still achieve the goal. Those who are not committed will watch, maybe even enjoy, seeing your beautiful plan crash to the ground. Once you combine this commitment to the plan with a consistent rhythm of communicating the plan, you nearly eliminate surprises. Your people have seen the plans over and over again and have been provided the opportunity to give their feedback. You've now engaged them to help execute the plan. Execute the plan. This is where the game comes full circle. you can now put into play all the practices of the game to help you execute your plans. The very plan you develop is tracked, measured, and reported week in, week out. Deviations are identified, plans are developed, and actions are taken to meet or even beat the plan. As described in the planning cycle above, the huddles provide the everyday review and execution of the plan. It's a powerful process to use to make sure the plans don't become stagnant or worse, not relevant. In the end, the final high-involvement plan is translated into practices that will enable everyone to execute. Practices like critical numbers, bonus plans, mini-games, huddles, scoreboards, rewards, recognition, and education. Not to mention the continuous process of forecasting and reforecasting to meet your goals. All these are tremendous execution practices. Best of all, these are practices used by everyone, not just the leadership team. The execution of your plan now becomes everyone's focus, and they have the tools, education, and empowerment to act. Ready, fire, aim. You've read the book. You know the steps. What do you do next? Our advice is ready, fire, aim. Throughout this book, we've provided you a working knowledge of the game and a step-by-step process to implement it. You're ready. But knowing what to do isn't enough. There's a clear gap between knowing what to do and actually doing it. Now it's up to you and your people to turn these steps of implementation into action. You can't just read about it and think about it. You've got to pull the trigger. That's fire. If you need to test the waters by playing a mini game, just don't forget that each and every one of these practices builds on the others. They support the complete system. So be careful not to approach the system piecemeal. You will certainly see early, rapid results, and of course, results build momentum. But implementing the entire system is what provides sustainable, lasting change. But implementing the entire system is what provides sustainable, lasting change. Disciplined adherence to the system is one of the real secrets of successful GGOB companies. Staying true to the practices as well as the principles is hard work, but it's extremely rewarding. Build on your successes, learn from your mistakes, and don't give up. There will never be a perfect time to begin. It's not about perfection, it's about progress. That's AIM. So, ready, fire, aim. We know it's easier said than done. You may even feel a little overwhelmed with all we've shared. You might even be thinking more about all the obstacles and reasons not to do it than the reasons to do it. Remember, you are not alone. Everybody goes through this. One all-star practitioner shares this advice. Don't wait. Get started now and trust your employees. Adopt the principle of radical incrementalism. Commit to getting a little better each day, each week, each year. You just need to get off the bench and get in the game. Get in the Game is the how-to implementation guide of the Great Game of Business series. The series includes The Great Game of Business by Jack Stack and Bo Burlingham. It's the origin story of Open Book Management. Change the Game by Jack Stack with Darren Dahl is about saving the American dream by closing the gap between the haves and have-nots. To learn more and access our resource site for tons of useful tools and content, visit greatgame.com. How we help. Talk with a coach. There's no quicker, more effective way to implement the Great Game of Business than with the help of a practitioner, someone who's lived it. Our goal is to give you the tools, information, and understanding necessary to be successful. To provide you with the support and extra attention you deserve, our practitioner coaches have the experience and savvy to give you the hands-on approach you're looking for and help you achieve your objectives as quickly as possible. We're happy to provide you with a complimentary 30-minute coaching session with one of our practitioner coaches to help start you on your journey. Visit greatgame.com to schedule your 30-minute session. A practitioner's story. From the very beginning, our coach offered guidance that kept the implementation on track. From the right way to select the design team, to working toward our critical number, to the way we ran our minigame. Without his guidance and coaching, it might have taken almost 9 months to roll out the great game to our team with limited success. With his help, we kicked off our design team on March 1st and implemented the great game company-wide 113 days later. Our coach helped us keep focused, held us accountable, and provided an objective voice in the process. For a company just launching the great game of business, we would tell them, be consistent and true to the game, consistent with huddles, consistent with weekly forecasting, consistent with reinforcing why we're playing the game, consistent with mini games, and consistent with celebrating the wins, no matter how big or small. Workshops, training, and products. For nearly 40 years, people have come to Springfield, Missouri to see the living lab that Jack Stack founded in the form of SRC Holdings. Today, we continue to host numerous workshops throughout the year, both in Springfield and around the world. Learn more about our workshops, training, and products at greatgame.com. Attend the annual conference on Open Book Management, the Gathering of Games. For nearly 30 years, the OBM community has converged to learn, share, and celebrate the practice of the great game of business and open book management. Check our website for the latest location and schedule. Our committed team. Call us. We are passionate about transforming businesses and people. We practice what we preach and are here to help. You can reach us at greatgame.com or call 800-386-2752. Now that you're part of the community, you have a responsibility to engage your people, be wildly successful, and share your experience with the rest of us. We want to hear your story. Become a coach. If the game has made an impact on your life, and you're ready to help others take their people and organizations to before unimagined levels of success, consider joining our community of GGOB coaching. Visit greatgame.com and click on Become a Coach, and help us transform lives and change the world.